You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Good Friday, everybody. It's the Roto Experts. Jake Seeley, Scott Angle, Chris Meany. As we continue to get you ready for the fantasy baseball season, this is just around the corner, less than a week away. It starts next Thursday, a full day of baseball happening on Thursday. You know what, guys? We haven't even talked about that yet. Scott, what's your feelings on baseball moving from the Sunday night kickoff and, I guess, bat off or whatever you should call it, and then the full day of
first
Monday
pitch.
Baseball?
Yeah.
First pitch, that's good. Yeah. You to jump first into this off. Full day of Thursday. What's your feelings on that?
My feelings on that is I really don't have any feelings on it. I'm used to day baseball during the first 2 weeks of the season, so it doesn't matter to me when it starts. And it's nice to have a Sunday night game, you know, where it's broadcast alone and everything. But to me, I don't have any strong feelings about it either way, to be honest with you.
Yeah, my feelings aren't as not that strong either. But I'm with Scott. I kind of like the Sunday night, you know, the first pitch, get you started, and then boom, Monday is, you know, afternoon baseball and you get into it. But it's all the same, as you said, Scott.
Really?
A few games in the afternoon in the first few weeks.
I don't like it because the thing was before is Monday, as you said, it's nice to start with day baseball. We get baseball all day long. It's the, you know, start as the first pitch of the season. It's the opening day of baseball season. It's an event, that type of thing. But you could at least make it like a 3-day weekend. Like if you want to take off Monday or check out of work early or whatever, Thursday just doesn't work. You can't take a 3-day weekend with Thursday because then you either go back to work on Friday or have to take a 4-day weekend. Like if you're in one of these cities and trying to go to one of the games, it's just, I think the third, like if they would have done it on Friday, okay, that's fine.
Friday would have made sense. Yeah.
I don't get the Thursday, Scott.
Yeah, like I said, I don't have a strong feeling about it. I'm used to opening day when I was growing up, being on a weekday. It didn't matter what day of the week, especially for a home opener. So I respect where you're coming from, but I just don't feel strongly about it. I kind of like that it's beginning before the beginning of April, though, and it's kind of starting earlier.
You bring up good points, Jake. Is there even Sunday night baseball this year?
There is,
because they they still got they got most of the crew back too, besides Boone. But yeah, because last year they got away from it, right? They stopped doing Sunday night baseball. It was a Saturday night event, and they got away from it, which was disappointing because I love that. I love the Sunday night baseball. It's great.
Well, the other thing I'm looking at, and Greg brought this up yesterday, is really why is the opening the first game, the Cubs and Marlins? You could have done better than that. Like that's what you said.
What a Cubs win to begin the season.
You could have done that against a couple. That doesn't have to be the first game to start the year. I mean, I'm looking at a couple of these day games.
It's the undercard.
It's the undercard to get set up for the rest of the day?
Yeah.
Good call.
Kind of like a boxing match, you know?
Yeah. That one I don't get.
It's like wrestling, like, you know, when you have, like, at the beginning of the broadcast, the old broadcast, like when they have a nobody, like, you know, fighting somebody, you know?
No, see, that's fine, but I don't think that's what they were going for. All kidding aside, like I said, why don't they do like football? Why isn't it the champion versus a playoff team or two playoff teams? Like it's not like they had to. Yeah, it's not like they had to plan this last July. And even if they planned it last July, they knew the Marlins were going to suck.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I agree. Should be, you know, Astros and Dodgers again, but you know, with the interleague
or even Astros
typically
Indians.
Play each other. There, that would be a good one. Yeah.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, football does it. I don't see why they don't do it. But and here's the one other one. And this is, I think, Corey, just, you know, Scott, you like to say people on this network like to say things a lot of times just to say things. I think Corey was saying this just to say things. He was saying that he doesn't like the fact that the Yankees are in Canada. It's not American to start baseball in Canada.
Right. So
it doesn't matter.
Who cares? The Blue Jays are already part of history. It's... You know, how many world championships have they won? I think that's kind of silly to be actually, but you know, it's like, I guess a Met fan, you would have, you could have said, well, to keep the Yankees out of the country to begin the season might be a good thing, right?
I don't really
care. Set them up north.
Chris, this is what I said. I said, like,
it's freezing up here. Send them up north.
Toronto's not allowed to have an opening day home game. And then there's the other part. Chris, I also said that's probably the most racist thing Corey's ever said.
What's that?
That we can't have Canadian baseball to open the season.
Canadians is a race?
Yeah, it is. It's a country.
It's
not like,
no, it's not.
You know, the Blue Jays don't have a good resume here. So
you just don't see it as such. It all is. All the countries are racist.
I don't even like the Blue Jays, but they could have a home opener.
You know. That's what I'm saying. Although, and I'm looking at this
to start off.
Well, race is people having shared physical or social qualities. It's like I can see the social qualities, but
no, it's a country. It's their own country.
A race is not a country, though.
It's the Canadians, just like they're like the people, the Egyptians.
It's only half the definition of a race, though. It's like they share physical qualities, like all the people from.
Scott, really going to get into this? Yeah.
Yes.
I don't care. You can argue about it with somebody else another time. It was a joke made at Corey. I'll make jokes at Corey all I want.
I endorse that fully, you know, making jokes at Corey. But, you know, you say it's a race, it's incorrect.
No, I said it was a racist joke, and I stand by it.
It's not. So, okay, you can be wrong. We can go ahead.
Yeah, you think that all the time anyway. So
no, I don't always think
baseballs. Okay, so you're always right. You never think about whatever. Do what you want. We're going to continue. I'm continuing.
Right.
I'm moving on. Baseball. Jeff Samardzija. Strain pectoral muscle. Likely starting the season on the DL. What does that do for your draft value with Jeff Samardzija, Chris?
Well, I noticed, did a couple drafts yesterday, and he fell, you know, down the boards, you know, significantly. Nobody really wanted to touch him because of this. So we talked about it yesterday. You know, when a pitcher to me, you know, an injury happens before the season starts, it's usually a red flag for me. Samardzija is not a guy that, you know, I was targeting into my drafts, but I think, you know, depending on your format, he's always been decent for innings, quality starts. It's a good pitcher's ballpark. I don't hate the idea of drafting him, but for me, this is a little bit of a red flag again. I don't want to be taking pitchers that may not start the season for a few weeks, and there's a possibility with him.
Yeah, I think with Samardzija, it's one of those cases where you like him as your fifth fantasy starter, but people don't want to draft guys who are basically injured right now this weekend. So I think it gives you something of a value. You can get him as your sixth fantasy starter. I'll take it, you know, especially in that ballpark.
You know, the one thing, too, Jake, is I don't think he's ever been on the DL. I think for the most part, this has been a healthy pitcher for us over the course of his career. So
that's
one positive takeaway. Yeah, first time. So he's always been a 200-inning guy. I mean, it's six straight seasons with 200-plus innings from him. I mean, the walks have always been fine. The Ks, you know, have been a little bit all over the place. But he's not an awful pitcher to target, but this is a little bit of a red flag.
No, so to your point, last year, of the people who pitched 200 innings and 200 strikeouts, he was one of, I'm double-checking the number, it was one of 10 pitchers to do so last year. Exactly, and that's the thing is, you know, I think that he gets overlooked in general before this injury, and I actually liked him as a value. It's like I was taking him happily as my third, sometimes fourth pitcher because people just don't want Jeff Samardzija. There's just this mystique around him that he's not any good, but he is. And he's definitely not an ace, but people are just this mystique that, like, oh, he's not somebody that's going to bring any value to my team. He's going to pitch to a 4+ ERA. But if you look at it, he kind of bounces back and forth with like 2.97, 3.8, 4.3, 2.9, 4.9, 3.8, 4.4. So he bounces back and forth. But like you said, the innings and the strikeouts, 200, 200, 200 every single year for the most part. He had that one dip down to 163. But if you're going to get 200 and 200, but now what do you expect? You say 160 and 160 with a missed possible month?
Probably. You know, I think you just have to prorate the numbers.
Chris?
I think that's a fair projection, Jake. 160 to 170. Say, you know, he misses the first 3 weeks of the season. Just guessing here. you know, maybe it's a little bit longer, but I think that's fair. And again, this guy has been, he's been a steady workhorse, man. It's like 30 plus starts every year. You just rattled off his ERA numbers. His xFIP has been sub five of the last six. So I think now for people that like to get discounts, and I think we're all the same, you know, come draft day and guys are jumping down a little bit, I think there's a little bit of value there. You can just plug him on the DL and move along. I mean, I've done that with Irvin Santana. People are afraid of Irvin Santana. I've seen, you know, 150 pitchers go off the board before Santana. It's like, this guy's got a finger issue and he's going to be back mid-April.
Yeah.
He may regress a little bit, but he's
another
fine.
Case of, you could draft a really good team if you just like go into a draft, like do a mock and, you know, do a mock of guys that are going to come back in mid-April, and you'll end up with a pretty good damn value team.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're right. Like you said, Scott, a lot of people don't want to start the year off with that. Justin Martin went for $12 in the Tout Wars mixed. As of today, Scott, where would you cap off at? If I said 8, would you go 9?
Yeah. I 10? Think I'd top out at 10.
10?
Yeah.
Chris, same?
I think the same. Yeah, 10.
All right, let's do a quick comparison for comparison purposes because he went for the same price in the draft. Shohei Ohtani or Jeff Samardzija?
I'm not screwing with Ohtani at all, you know, especially for what you got to pay for him. And either you just never know fully with the adjustment, not only culturally, mentally, physically. There's just too many unknown factors. At least I know what I get for Samardzija. I'm going to pay, you know, maybe double for Ohtani.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same. I'm feeling like Ohtani could disappoint a lot of people. Certainly his bat is nowhere up to par of standard for an average bat in the bigs. But, yeah, I just take the cheaper guy. I just take the cheaper guy and in snake drafts, just take the guy who's going to fall down a little bit later. Because you don't know with Ohtani, like you said, Scott. Plus he's got the arm issue that, you know, reports surface of that. Angels want to go to a six-man rotation to, you know, have it a little bit relaxed. I don't know. I'm not in. I'm feeling Ohtani could be pretty disappointing. There's too much hype on this guy.
Yeah. A quick note here for you guys of interest before we move to the next player. How about the lineup for the Yankees today? You ready to hear what they're trotting out? You ready for this?
Are they playing in America?
Anybody? I mean, just like this. Yeah, they're playing in America.
Playing in Canada doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count in the standings.
Judge is leading off. It's Judge. Stanton, Bird, Sanchez, Hicks, and then Gregorius, Drury, Walker, Gardner. They're leading off with Judge, Stanton, and Bird as the top three.
Three single homers to start off the game.
Well, don't forget about Sanchez batting fourth. It could be four.
It could be four.
Yeah, it could be 4-0. I mean, who's pitching against them?
I don't know. That part I don't know.
Disgusting. That's disgusting. But Judge is not a leadoff guy. He's not going to work in that. It's a good experience. He walks, but he is patient, but he still strikes out
I know. Well, so that goes back to the other thing is we've already seen the Cespedes bat in second because you want to get that, you know, your best batter up further in the lineup and all that stuff. So there was the Joey Gallo one. Joey Gallo supposedly bat in second. And that makes no sense to me, Chris, because this is what I said. He's a binary outcome. You're getting a strikeout or a hit. Like, or probably a home run if he does hit the ball. And then if he does walk, that's fine because he's got a decent amount of base percentage for the walks. But the point is if you're batting second, you don't really want somebody walking. You want somebody trying to get that person a third. You want somebody making contact. The counter argument that came back at me, Chris, was, well, because he walks and he is so patient, DeShields can get more stolen base opportunities. I'd rather see Gallo for the though. I don't like that.
Yeah, and I agree. If Gallo's, he's not slapping too many singles. Gallo's hitting a home run or he's striking out or, you know, like you said, maybe a walk here or two. I think that, you know, ideally they would like to have Rougned Odor in that two spot, but he really just had, you know, over the past couple seasons, another guy who's has struck out a ton. He can't find a way to get on base, not walking.
Yeah, at least Gallo gets on base.
At least Gallo gets on base, so I understand it. But, I mean, I could see Anders going up to that two spot, maybe Gallo in the three, keep Beltre in the four and move on that way. Maybe Shin-Soo Chu moves up. Gallo, to me, is not a guy I think that we'll see stick in that two spot for long.
Does that affect his value for you at all, in your opinion, Scott?
I think it's kind of like they're talking about Cespedes hitting number two. You know, that means he'll get more at-bats, I think. So I have Gallo where I have him, though. It's really not going to affect what I think he's going to do overall. I like him better in an OBP league, obviously. You know, Pitt's 230, 38 homers, something like that. He is what he is no matter where he hits, I think.
All right. And let's get to another injury situation. This one has potential ripple effect here. So Steven Souza, he's also starting the year on the DL. Situation here now is, could we get a cleared up picture? But the problem is the cleared picture is still not that clear, because is it Dyson or is it Tomas, Scott? And the thing is, Yasmani Tomas was the rumors 2-3 weeks ago where this team could just release him, despite the fact he's owed tens of millions of dollars because they're just frustrated. But I don't know if Tomas was like, oh my God, I might be released, because he started hitting a heck of a lot in spring training. But they also brought in Jared Dyson, who is a nice top of the leadoff hitter, very good speed. Do you think it just ends up a platoon between them, or do you think one of them could potentially win out while Souza's out? And now, are you even drafting Souza?
I think I'm still drafting Souza. Maybe he misses 2 weeks here, still mid-April return. You know, they acquired him because, you know, this is a guy that is a good clubhouse presence. A lot of people in Tampa Bay were upset that they got rid of him for that reason. They felt he was a team leader. I think his spot is safe when he comes back, and it's Dyson until he comes back. That's what they acquired Dyson, because they were worried about Pollock getting hurt or any other injury strike. And it's Dyson. Yasmani Tomas is going to still continue to be a very expensive bench player.
Yeah, nothing really new here with Souza, unfortunately for him. You know, a career high 148 games last year, but always seems to be dinged up with something. But I like Souza from a fantasy standpoint. Again, another guy who's just going to fall down the boards. He can contribute across the board, including walks, on base percentage leagues, give you a few steals. It's still a decent lineup there. Tomas is interesting because, you know, his first two seasons, especially the second one, it was a solid campaign for him, 30-plus home runs. I mean, this guy can hit, but I do agree that it's going to be Dyson. I mean, this just opens up a door for Tomas because, you know, last week, 2 weeks ago, didn't think that we'd see this guy again.
No, he was going to be long and forgotten, possibly on another team. But we're going to come back. Actually, I have some football news to get to real quick, and then back into baseball. A lot more baseball for you guys to get ready for your drafts, especially this weekend. It's Jake, it's Scott, it's Chris, it's the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
What if I were to tell you that there was a professional football league where you, the fan, got to draft the team and call the plays? Is that something you might be interested in? The Fan Control Football League is bringing managerial control to the fans. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
The RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package for 2018 is here and better than ever. Packed with a deluxe suite of articles from our award-winning analysts, this year's edition also features a brand new Slack channel, an improved cheat sheet generator, and our most accurate projections ever. We take you from draft day to championship week. Enter promo code FNTSY at checkout for a discount on your RotoExperts.com exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package.
Hey there, everybody. It's me, Joe Pizzapia. Baseball is back, and that means the Fantasy Baseball Black Book is back as well. It's me. It's Paul Spohr writing starting pitching profiles. It's Jake Seeley. It's Sammy Reed writing DFS. It's a whole lot of greatness right here for you. You can get the new Fantasy Black Book for baseball on Amazon, on iTunes. You can get it in paperback. You can get it for your Kindle. You can get it anywhere you want, but make sure you get it, because once you go Black Book, you never go back.
Hey, I'm Jeff. Look, I'm just a skeleton. I don't have an ACL anymore, but I'd still like to know what it means when one of my fantasy players sprains his. That's why I use the Inside Injuries app. It was created by real doctors, so you're getting information directly from people who have seen, touched, and operated on actual ACLs. Take it from me, a skeleton. If you aren't using it, you might as well just be guessing. Download the free app today and unlock the secrets of injury analysis.
Fantasy Baseball Hour with Al Melchior.
Ahmed Rosario. He did get 7 steals in 46 games, which is a pretty nice ratio. And he struck out at a rate that's way higher than what he typically did in the minor league.
He is kind of like a mini Reyes. His average, I think, is going to be great. He hit the last couple of years in the minors. He was hitting 300+. He doesn't steal as many bases as people think he does, but I also think he might have a little more power than people give him credit for. He's getting drafted too high to be a sleeper. I think there's breakout potential there, Al. I like him.
Listen live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts. Jake Seeley, Scott Angle, Chris Meany. We're getting ready for the fantasy baseball season, especially if you have your drafts this weekend. And also to do so, go get your Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball package now. This year's version is new and improved with more analysis than ever, including an all-day chat channel, stats, projections, and an improved cheat sheet generator. You can get rankings from top-ranked analyst myself, which also is now a top-ranked analyst, and Tim McCullough, who beat me last year. Tips from him as well, and insights from this guy, Scott Angle, the Hall of Famer. He gets those inside reports with the teams as well, which are great to see. Enter code FNTs. What?
New one posted, Boston Red Sox.
The Boston Red Sox. Yeah. Some good information in there, especially about David Price and such. So enter the code FNTSY at checkout. Get your exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball package in case you missed it, FNTSY, or All In Kid, or The King. You can put any of those codes in. All those codes works for you guys. So real quick, like I said, we have some breaking football news that we do have to get to, and we get back to the baseball. Terrell Pryor has officially signed with the Jets. I'm waiting to see the money because I have to assume if I'm choosing between teams, Scott, and I know you're going to agree with me, but the money had to be significantly more. Maybe the guaranteed money was significantly more because if you tell me the contract's similar between the Jets and the Seahawks, despite arguments of people out there saying their rosters aren't that dissimilar at this point with the retooling of the Seahawks, I'm saying I don't care because the quarterback, no matter who they draft, no matter what they do, is significantly better. And between which organization I trust the Seahawks significantly more. So if I'm giving anything close, I'm Terrell Pryor. I'm going to play for the Seahawks. I got to guess the money is bigger. But for fantasy purposes, after you get to that point, what do you expect fantasy-wise of Terrell Pryor with the Jets?
Yeah, I don't see how the rosters are similar, especially when you're talking having a franchise quarterback is a big, big difference.
I think after still have
the Jets have a running back. The Seahawks don't. The Seahawks offensive line in transition, I wouldn't say that necessarily about the Jets. Who's the Jets' best linebacker?
What are we talking about? Or who's it is? I think that if you look at it, you got Bobby Wagner's not going to compare to anybody, though.
Right, and neither is Earl Thomas, so I don't see the similarities. But that's not what we're here to talk about. How? I don't see similarities.
Well, that's fair. I think from top to bottom, they're outside of Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's the big key there.
He is, but they don't have anybody like Wagner or Thomas or KJ Wright on the Jets roster either.
No, but
there's a chance Seattle just talked to Terrell Pryor and they're just like, we don't even want this.
Yeah, I think what happens here, though, I don't like it as a fantasy move. It's good for an NFL move. Because the Jets have a lot of depth at wide receiver, and now you can become sort of a role player there. You know, they have Anderson. You know, they got maybe Quincy and Newton will coming back. You might see a Darius Stewart or some of the other young guys step up here. Now they have incredible depth at the wide receiver position, whereas in Seattle he might play a bigger role as that downfield replacement for Paul Richardson, but I think they're ticketing Jerron Brown for that. But I would have felt better about him in Seattle. I think it's good to have for him to have a certain role, I think, is that large type receiver in New York. And what they're doing is they want their young quarterback and they want to surround him with as much depth and talent as possible. I don't like it from a fantasy perspective. I do like it from an NFL perspective.
Yeah. You know, if Robbie Anderson misses some time to start the year, maybe it'll open up a door for him. I'm just not in on Pryor. I mean, I just – there's so many disappointing aspects of his game last year. You know, obviously night and day from Cleveland over to Washington. It's probably a – you know, it's a decent buy low for the Jets. Why not? They have a lot of money. Let's bring in some guys here to work with. They don't have a ton of talented, top talented wide receivers. I liked what I saw from Jermaine Kearse last year. But like you said, Jake, is this no quarterback play here? Who's the quarterback? We don't know. This is going to be Josh McCown day one. Probably. It probably will be. Maybe it's Bridgewater. Who knows? But there's just such a big question mark there. I would have liked to see him on a different offense. It's okay. This is not somebody I'll think about drafting, I don't think. But we're not going to – the biggest thing is you're not going to have to spend a second or third round pick on him.
No.
Like people were doing last year.
It's to your point, what you just said is it's not trying to, like, take the easy way out. But I think that you have to say it depends on what the quarterback's going to be. Because if it's Josh McCown, you're probably going to get some similar lesser play to Kirk Cousins, but similar play in the fact that – might not work out so well because Terrell Pryor's biggest problem is that he can't run routes. He's not good at being where you need him to be. He needs to be able to freelance. That's why I wanted him with Russell Wilson. That's why I wanted him in Seattle for fantasy purposes. Now, if Teddy Bridgewater's at quarterback, that helps him a little bit. People actually make the mistake assuming Teddy Bridgewater is a scrambling quarterback. He's not. And actually, if you go back to college, he's kind of more like Andrew Luck. Well, he'll run if he needs to. But it depends on who they draft. Obviously, if it's Darnold, if it's Josh Allen, you're going to have accuracy concerns. If it's Josh Rosen, that'll help him with the downfield. So I think it really depends where they go in the draft. Honestly, the best fit for him for freelancing might be Lamar Jackson, but the Jets aren't trading up to number three to take Lamar Jackson. So it'll be interesting. And then, Scott, as you said, this team, I saw somebody tweeted it yesterday, right now after Terrell Pryor, this team has 14 wide receivers on the roster. 14. That's ridiculous.
It's a bit much.
They have good depth there with Anderson and Nunwa and Jermaine Kearse is both a blocker.
Darius Stewart, Devin Smith that they drafted a few years. Yeah. Chad Henson that they just drafted. Teron Peake. It's ridiculous.
Henson, I don't look at a Darius Stewart, but you know he could be the third wide receiver there.
I think he has a chance to push the number two because, as Chris said, we don't know what's going on with Robbie Anderson yet.
Yeah, it's true. Darius Stewart actually has a little bit of game, but
I like Darius Stewart.
Me too. I think there's a chance here. Robbie Anderson, I mean, it's looking like potentially he could face, you know, a few game suspension. So that'll open up the door.
Actually, real quick, Chris, how the heck did Zay Jones' case get tossed out because of, quote, lack of evidence? We all saw the video. Where's the lack of evidence?
I don't understand that. The lack of evidence makes no sense. As you said, we all saw it. We all know what happened. I mean, it's clear right there, the evidence. So, I mean, I don't know. He had somebody looking over him there, I think.
Scott, do you understand this?
No, and you certainly don't want to hear a thing of, you know, where the guy pulls down his pants and there's a lack of evidence. You know, that's not too, not too good either.
I think Tony would have been happy with that joke.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah.
All right, so in other football signing news, too, there's two more yesterday. Another one is your team, Chris. Mike Wallace replaces Torrey Smith on the Eagles as their downfield threat. Mike Wallace, not the Mike Wallace you used to be, but I will say one thing. If you're comparing the two, Mike Wallace has a more complete game than Torrey Smith does. I actually think this is a net upgrade.
Yeah, I do too. This is an upgrade for sure, I think. And, you know, it's cheap. It's you know, this is what Howie Roseman has done over the past couple of years, and it worked out for him last year. He's just kind of been quiet at opening week of free agency and just tries to find, you know, a cheap guy. They did it with Torrey Smith last year. So, yeah, I think Mike Wallace is an upgrade. Keeps a speed burner there. I like Mac Hollins.
He's still the number three
in your
opinion, though, right? Like, it's still Nelson Aguilar as the number two.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's still the number three. It kind of stunts Mac Hollins for people who have him in dynasty leagues, but it's not bad to have this wide receiver depth. It's solid to have a deep burner there.
Yeah, it's another better NFL move than a fantasy move because he's going to be the fourth wide receiver target there. You have Ertz, you have Jeffrey, you have Aguilar. Those are the top three targets right there. So I think this hurts him a little bit from a fantasy perspective.
He's kind of maybe that
wide
DFS
receiver
type of
five,
play.
Wide receiver five, DFS type of play, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, and the last one, Frank Gore has a new home. Frank Gore is signing with the Dolphins. This is so frustrating from a fantasy perspective for everybody that was excited about Kenyon Drake. Not that Kenyon Drake's losing the lead job, Scott, because Frank Gore's not coming in and going to be the lead back over Drake. But this just goes further down the road of, like, the Dolphins just don't want to give anybody. Like, you would think with the different regime, no more Lamar Miller, all the changes that have been made, like, maybe our things will be different now. And we saw what Kenyon Drake could do at the end of the season. He was terrific. I mean, that's not an exaggeration. He was terrific at the end of the year, and yet they bring in Frank Gore, who's probably going to now steal 8 to 10 touches per game from Drake.
Well, you can't have him touching the ball 30 times a game, but the reason why they're bringing him in, though, you know, if you hear the reports out of Miami, you know, it's kind of like the Marlins in a way. You know, the Marlins got rid of big name people because they felt they weren't winning with them, and the Dolphins are kind of doing that too. They've got rid of Landry, Ajayi, and Sue, and some other people that, you know, all the stats look good on paper, but, you know, the coaching staff wants a culture change. They want to ease out people where they don't feel that they're good for the team and they're good for the clubhouse, and they're bringing in Frank Gore as a clubhouse presence and maybe as a mentor to Kenyon Drake, and I think that's what his role is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you see that with Danny Amendola is another example of just trying to bring in an experienced guy to change the culture. It's a good point.
It is frustrating. How many experienced guys do you want on this team?
Yeah, it is frustrating, though, Jake. I mean, because you're right. I mean, Kenyon Drake was awesome. He was phenomenal down the stretch. And it took an injury, really, for Williams, for Gase to realize this, because he was going to Williams more. It was Williams, and then Williams got hurt, and then Drake was forced into this role. It's like, wow, Drake is pretty good. Give this guy the football. But, yeah, Frank Gore is just – you got to have two or three back, so maybe he can learn a thing or two, as whether it's pass blocking. I mean, Gore is clearly a vet who's been around a long time, but he is going to steal a few touches, which is a little disappointing.
Well, let me set it up to you this way then. Everything is pretty fine for Kenyon Drake as a mid-high RB2 unless the Dolphins add a third piece, in the draft, Chris. Would you say that's fair as of today?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, obviously we know that the upside, Drake can catch too. Maybe he loses a few goal line touches, but I think he's a solid, RB2. It's definitely got that upside to be a solid RB2.
Do you agree, Scott?
I think so. I don't think they're going to go out and do anything drastic unless they trade him for Jordan Howard.
No. It's just, hey, you still never know. There's still the potential that something could be weirdly done. The Dolphins just don't seem to know what they're doing. As of today...
This offseason for them is such a joke.
I know. I feel like the Dolphins have one of the worst rosters in the league right now.
Yes.
Would you agree? Yeah, say that, Scott?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think we've said that often over the last decade or so.
That's
true.
I don't know
how Tannehill's going to respond. Like, you don't know how
respond
Tannehill's.
To what?
I mean, this guy's come back.
That's Alex Smith Southeast, man. Come on. Before last year when he wasn't throwing deep.
It's hard to believe he's 30, too. Like, he'll be 30 to start the year.
Yeah, he's officially a bust by now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what quarterback for the Dolphins, as you said, Scott, or what quarterback hasn't been a bust at this point? I mean, I guess you really can't say Pennington was a bust because of the injuries. So, I mean, let's throw that out there real quick. Because of injuries, would you call somebody a bust, or do you think that you can't call him a bust because of injuries?
I think you could call him a fantasy bust because of injuries, but maybe not an NFL bust. I think that's fair.
That's fair.
You know, the best quarterback since Dan Marino retired, who is it? Was it Pennington? Was it Jade Fiedler? The best quarterback in town for the last 20 years has been the Dan Marino statue outside the stadium itself.
Yeah, and Pennington didn't do anything with Miami. Like, he hardly played, and he didn't put up good numbers with them. So I would agree
with
that.
But I think it was the best talent that they had.
But it probably was the best talent. It's just towards the end of his time. But I would agree. I don't think you can call him, like, a real-life bust. Like, it's tough. Like, do you call Odin for, back in the day when they, Portland takes Odin over Kevin Durant in the draft, and is Odin a bust? I mean, we didn't even see him play in the NBA. He just had tons of injuries.
It's unfortunate. That's tough, too. All right, real quick, before we hit the break coming up, we're going to get back to all baseball for the final segment. This actually is baseball, but fantasy baseball for the last segment. Did you guys happen to see the umpire in spring training yesterday that ejected 6 people? Did you guys happen to see this? So,
No, I didn't see this.
So it started with a pretty egregious, as Tom Hillion, an umpire, it was in a game in spring training, as Tigers-Phillies. Batter gets grazed. So a few pitches before that, to be fair, there was a pitch that went over the batter's head. is Udabel Herrera. He gets grazed on the next one, immediately tosses the pitcher in the middle of a count. It was like 2-2 or something like that. And everybody's kind of shocked by it. Like, okay, whatever. So that goes on. That's just it. For three innings. Because three innings later, somebody gets plunked on their shin on a 1-2 curveball, and he turns around and ejects that guy. And the manager comes out, is like, what the hell is going on? It's been three innings. This has nothing. It was a 1-2 curveball. So that guy gets ejected. And then an inning and a half later, somebody gets grazed again. He ejects that guy. The umpire comes out and says, what the hell are you doing? This has nothing to do with what happened earlier. It's an inning and a half later. And he ejects that guy. So my question to you is, when umpires take over games, is there something to MLB? Can we eject umpires, Scott? Like, can MLB call in and be like, look, dude, you're getting sent home. The first base umpire is taking over. You're way out of your depth here.
I think the only way that could happen is the rest of the crew disagrees with you and you go against them. I think as a crew, you know, you have to make a sometimes a decision there.
This sounds ludicrous. I'm going to have to go back and watch this. it's like a one-two count and it hits Buddy's shin. Like, sometimes these umpires, and I've noticed it a lot recently, like last year I really felt like some of them, you know, almost like a bit of a power trip, trying to be bigger than the game, throwing guys out when there's really no need of it. I don't know if you can eject. I mean, Scott brings up a good point. If everybody else, you know, doesn't agree with the head ump or, you know, an ump, like, let's maybe a timeout, hit the showers. But I don't know if you can eject him. I think you could, like, start counting them.
Do something.
I think there has to be some liability there. I think you could maybe suspend them without pay or fine them. Like, something could happen maybe a day later when, you know, you see everything break down and everyone's like, whoa, what did you do here? Like, some of them, I think, need like a slap on the wrist, so to speak.
Yeah, something. I mean, something has to be done. We complained about it a lot last year. It's like, we don't go to games to watch umpires take over the game. The best umpires are the ones that you don't mention for the entire game.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like offensive linemen, yeah.
Exactly. That's actually a really good comparison, Scott. We're going to hit a break. We're going to come back, like you. I said. I thought it was. I had never thought of it that way. All right, fantasy baseball to finish off the entire last segment for you guys. We're going to make sure you're ready for your draft. Some more late-round pitchers to look at, some late news and such. It's Jake Seeley, Scott Angle, Chris Meaney, the Roto Experts of Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Muscle Maker Grill was made for baseball season. Muscle Maker Grill supplies you with delicious, healthy meals that will give you energy to cheer on your team week after week. Whether you're craving flavorful salad, packed wraps, or guiltless entrees, Muscle Maker Grill has you covered. Hosting a game? No problem. Our catering packages will have your whole team satisfied with flavors ranging from Italian to Tex-Mex and much, much more. Visit MuscleMakerGrill.com for your nearest location and have a winning season.
Fantasy Football Frenzy.
Jason Pierre-Paul was traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it is speculation that the Giants are looking to draft NC State's Bradley Chubb with the number 2 pick.
Everybody wants somebody who can rush the quarterback. Pierre-Paul did have 8.5 sacks last year, right? So he still can get to the quarterback. I don't see them taking Chubb at 2, though, unless they trade down. Giants need a quarterback as well. This is a mess. That's fun. You can't be relying on Eli Manning. Don't you have to take a quarterback at 2?
Listen live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 immediately. That's 800-955-3793. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-955-3793 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-955-3793. That's 800-955-3793. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-955-3793 for your free author submission kit.
Fantasy Sports today.
You don't need to take Friday off. You know why? There is not a single day game on Friday. Not one. They are all at 7 o'clock or later. Are you kidding me? Like, we're getting right into baseball season where it's a Friday night. This is so stupid.
Why would they?
Product.
This is ridiculous. Why would they not have day baseball on the
all
first
weekend.
Friday
all
of
weekend.
The season?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
What are
all
they
day
doing?
Game.
I don't know. Because they're copying what they used to do on Mondays, but now they're just pushing it to Thursday.
That's they used to bother me on the Tuesday.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern. Only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Skix sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skix canvas high top, low top, slip-on, and kids tennis style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable, whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skix helps fans perform better. Go to Skix.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skix.com. Skix sneakers, the soul of a true fan.
Welcome back to Roto Experts. Jake Seeley, Scott Angle, Chris Meaney. Well, I'm about to do this next part. Pavona, what game is this? I feel like I should know. And well, thank you. Oh, the original Street Fighter or Street Fighter 2? Original, that's why, because nobody really played that much of the original. Thank you, Chris. FantasyFactor.com, perfect daily fantasy site for you guys, for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor always has fun contests going on. In fact, this year they're going to be running a $100,000 home run derby. So make sure you check them out. Go sign up and enter. It's FantasyFactor.com. Fantasy Factor, fantasy baseball, we're going to get into it. All right, these mid to late round pitchers for you guys. Chris, Taijuan Walker, the entire pitching staff for the Diamondbacks has the humidor coming in. And if you look at the spring so far, Taijuan Walker, plenty of Ks, but he's still struggling with the ERA. Is there any chance he has that breakout this year? We just have to face facts that Taijuan Walker is going to be a high K, high variance pitcher.
Yeah, I think that's what we have to face facts. I mean, the home runs went down in Seattle in 2016. He gave up almost 30 bombs, 27 in 134 innings. And I thought, oh, the move to Arizona, I don't know if this is going to actually help him out a little bit. Then the home runs came down. And he's always been a nice strikeout guy. The K percentage has always been legit. I think he is, you know, in terms of just strikeouts and pure stuff, swing and miss stuff, like I think he's a top 25 guy. But his command is it's off the charts. I mean, he's walking guys, and that gets him in trouble. He walks one or two here, and then a home run happens. So I don't mind taking him in drafts because I think he has the upside. You just deal with the walks and get the strikeouts. Obviously, the humidor is going to help him. But I think maybe we get rid of that elite prospect, you know, that was said about him, you know, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it feels like it was said about him like in 1997 or something like that. But, you know, look, I think you pretty much nailed it with the analysis, though, there, Chris. You know, that's why they brought you on the show. And, you know, this guy still has the strikeout potential. The humidor can help. But some of these strikeout guys, you know, they do hurt your whip, and you got to be careful of that.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is sometimes people don't look at the downside of having these type of pitchers. So let me ask you about this guy, Scott. Vincent Velasquez, seemingly forgotten at this point. People forget this guy was one of the highest rated prospects for the Astros. He was a significant part in the deal with the Phillies that people don't remember with the Ken Giles trade. The guy was striking out double digits year after year after year through the minors. Comes up a brief stint for the Astros. Has some pretty decent numbers as a rookie. 4.37 ERA, but he pitched better to that. The strikeouts were there. 2016 rolls around with the Phillies. 131 innings, a 4.12 ERA. The xFIP was down at 3.67 because the strikeouts are 10.4. He had a little bit of bad luck with the home run ball. Obviously, that's not going to change too much because he's still pitching for the Phillies. But he comes back last year from injury and not great. You know, 8.5 strikeouts, 4 walks per inning. The home runs again still there, a 5 ERA. But now he's back to 100%. A chance for you where I, at least in my opinion, Scott, he's a great end of your draft, late round flyer because of the strikeout potential. Because if he is 100%, maybe he's going to put it all together finally.
Yeah, you know, the word I got out of him out of Philly last year was when I spoke to people like beat reporters, et cetera, people close to the team was, you know, that he's got to learn to pitch and just not be a thrower as much. And I don't know if he's learned to do that yet. There's so much buzz about him, even when he just came over from Houston, but he might be a year away from making a true fantasy impact.
Yeah, it was nice to see more of a ground ball rate from him, because I think, Jake, you know, you talked about home runs being an issue with him. He was a fly ball pitcher, and that kind of got caught up. But you see the upside. I remember a game he had in 2016. I think it was like a complete game 16K performance. Like, he has that kind of upside. It's just he's been bothered by some injuries. And, again, walks has been an issue with him. But to your point, bringing him up, absolutely don't mind taking a flyer on him and seeing, you know, the strikeouts pile up. But Scott brings up a good point before with, you know, with these walks with Walker and stuff. I mean, that can hurt your whip, and all that stuff adds up. But, again, I don't mind, you know, sitting him against a tough opponent. Yeah. He can
You're getting Velasquez basically for free at this point.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. Yep.
All right, speaking of for free, and this guy's going around the same price, which is nothing in drafts, and I've seen him very low-priced in expert league drafts, Scott, too, which is the surprising part to me. I've been talking about it for a few weeks, and it was I'll give you a good comparison. Like, this was one of those situations where I went back and I said, am I stupid? Am I missing something? Like, I actually thought, because so few people were talking about it, so few people were paying for him, that I screwed something up, that I missed something in the offseason news-wise. But turns out, I haven't. Mike Minor, now he's granted with the Rangers, but he's six wins, six saves. He showed up in 65 games last year, all in relief, but they're putting him back in the rotation. 10 strikeouts per inning, 2.5 walks, a 2.55 ERA. The FIP is only at 2.62. The left on base percentage at 78 might be a little bit high, but his career is 73, so that's not egregious. He's getting the swinging strikes. He's getting everything that people thought he could be way back when he was with the Braves. So I found out I'm not crazy. Why aren't more people on Mike Minor, Scott?
Just because, you know, we heard about him early in his career and he never quite panned out. He wasn't a hype machine, but I think, you know, he never amounted to anything in Atlanta and people kind of forgot about him. But I watched some of that game, you know, yesterday. And, you know, he had good command, good location, looked very sharp on the mound. But then there's this other thing that he's a Texas pitcher. There's a stigma there. The rotation isn't too good. But for a dollar, I'll certainly take the crack.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up the rotation. I'm looking at it. You joked about 97. I mean, besides from Cole Hamels, who is experienced at this point, almost 35 years old, Matt Moore, Doug Fister, Mike Minor, you know, Bartolo Colon, bringing Lincecum. Like, what are the Rangers doing here? Like, but I understand they're cost-effective pitchers. It's all about just can he be a starter, because we haven't seen it, Jake. That's it. We haven't really seen him. He hasn't done it since 2014 with the Braves. But for a buck, I mean, why not? He's got a decent slider.
I'll go two to make sure I get it. Like, here, I'll give you a quick list, Chris. And this is right behind Chris list. Look at that. Right before, right after Mike Minor. So these are the names I have right behind him. I actually have Mike Minor at 66 for starters. I have Sean Manaea, Aaron Sanchez, Jordan Montgomery, Marco Estrada, Brad Peacock's not even going to be starting, Mikolas, Jacob Faria, Corbin. Those are all the guys I have right behind him. I think that's a fair spot. I mean, maybe you disagree on some of them, which is fine, because that's kind of a decent group. But I think he deserves to be in that conversation. Most people have him down in like the 90s alongside like the Hyunjin Ryus and CeCe Sabathias of the world.
Yeah, I mean, we know Hyunjin Ryu is going to be on the DL in, like, tomorrow probably. But for Minor, yeah, why not? I think that's a fair grouping that you said. I like Sanchez, the one guy that kind of stood out to me. I think a good bounce-back year for him. Doesn't strike out a lot of people, but he had blister all year. But, yeah, for a buck or two, why not? If he can turn back the clock and be a starter, that's the biggest question mark. And he's been roughed up a little bit in spring, but at least the innings are there. They want him to be a starter, as you said, so they're going to give him an opportunity.
You think that's a fair range for him, Scott?
I think it's a fair range for him, yeah.
All right. Yeah, he actually went in the reserve rounds at Top Wars. Nobody even spent a dollar on him. That was crazy. That was frustrating for me to see. I'm a Mike Minor supporter. All right, Scott. Steven Matz. The bullpen situation is looking like it's going to lead into Zach Wheeler once everybody's back and Jason Vargas is in the rotation, because Steven Matz has kind of won that job. It was neck and neck for a while there, but Wheeler's kind of fallen off. And not only has Wheeler fallen off, but Matz has looked great his last time out. We always know Matz had the stuff, but the thing is with Matz is he just never could stay healthy. If we could get 150 innings out of Steven Matz, is he going to be a top 50 pitcher?
He certainly got the potential to do it, but that doesn't answer the question. I'm going to say no, because the guy can't stay healthy. And, you know, you look at my insider report on rotoexperts.com, the exclusive edge package, where I talk about the Mets and the NL East. He tends to unravel and let up the big inning. You can't count on him to stay healthy. You can't count on him to avoid the big inning. He did come into camp more bulked up this year with the top half, but I think he's probably not going to finish as a top 50. You could draft him as a top 50, but I don't think he's going to finish there because he's going to miss too much time.
Yeah, I mean, his last spring outing, I think, was good, guys. Correct me if I'm wrong, but his overall, I mean, he's been roughed up big time. But, Jake, the question you said, if he can give you 150 innings, I agree with Scott. I don't think he can give 150 innings. But if somebody were telling me you're going to get 150 innings from Steven Matz this year, boom, he's on my team. He really is, because I think just health is just the biggest issue. Yeah, he gets into some trouble sometimes, but he does have that upside, you know, an 8K per nine. We've already seen it before. If he can get 150 innings across the board, I'm fine for where he's going. He's another guy who's not getting drafted at all, Jake. In fact, they did a draft last night where he wasn't even taken. It took a lot of these guys we've been talking about lately with a couple of my last picks, but Matz wasn't even taken off the board, so people are not even thinking about him, which if your league is deep enough, I think you should be.
Yeah, that was actually a surprise. To go back to Mike Minor real quick, it was surrising. So Matz went for a buck in Tout Wars Mix, but Mike Minor didn't. So there's a supporter out there for him. But I'm more with you, Chris. Most of my drafts, I have not seen him drafted, and those are like 26 rounds. So, and he's basically sitting there just for the picking at the end. Maybe over this weekend, if you guys want to make sure you get him, you're going to have to probably jump, I'd say, more in like the 21st round at this point. But you can still get him at the end of the draft. And speaking of these type of things, real quick, as we move on to the next player, make sure you go check out dailyroto.com and dominate DraftKings and FanDuel baseball contest this summer with their projections and optimizer. Go to dailyroto.com/premium. You can save 10% off with the promo code. You guys can guess it at this point, FNTSY. Use all the same tools and projections that millionaire maker winner Drew Dinkmeyer uses. And it doesn't just work for football. As I said, this is for baseball this season. Drew used it to win $150,000 in the DraftKings Live final finish. So head over to dailyroto.com/premium, and you get 10% off again with the code FNTSY. All right, guys, one more pitcher for you. The often forgotten, the often injured, and the pretty terrible last year, Tyson Ross. But there was a long stretch of Tyson Ross's career where he was quite good. And it was a lot with the Padres. And I know this is another one, as you said, with the perception, Scott, with the Rangers. At the same time, he looks healthy so far this spring. And I think the bigger thing has always been health. Last year, didn't even look that great when he was pitching. This is that similar situation to, not to quite the same as Matt Harvey, but was pitching through something he was trying to adjust to coming back from surgery. Tyson Ross, at the last round of your draft, just in case he can get back to being anything of what he was when he was the Padres.
Well, can he be what he was in 2015? It's possible. A lot of times,
such a long time ago.
A lot of times, surgeries and stuff like that will correct what's wrong with a player. So, you know, if you certainly want to take a flyer in an AL-only league, I'm against it. I'm not against it. I can't see having him on my cheat sheet in a mixed league, though.
No, I kind of feel the same. You know, I'd rather some of these guys that we've been talking about maybe take a flyer on Velasquez or Minor or Matz, Newcomb and Lamet for sure. But yeah, Jake, if he can get anywhere back to the, you know, 2013 to 2015 run where he kept the ball on the ground like 60% of the time, struck out a lot of batters, flirted with a 10K per nine, but it's the shoulder has bothered him for the past couple of years in the walks. So I think it's just maybe you let him fly, but keep an eye on him. You know, that little watch tab, keep an eye on the first couple starts. If he can get through them, then boom.
15 team, 28 rounds. You're in the last round.
Yes, I'll take him then. Yeah.
Would you throw the flyer out there then, Scott?
15 team, 28. Probably somebody I like better on my board.
32 rounds. Can I get you now?
Yeah, I think so.
Scott's got a big board over there with some nice 36, pieces.
36, you know.
Yeah. Are you borrowing Jeff Zimmerman's fold-up whiteboard thing? Is that what you got over there?
Hey, The NFL can be a copycat league, so can fantasy, so can be Tout Wars. You know, look at the people that win and see what they do.
Bring the giant white foldable board. All right, let's talk about some hitters real quick. Here's another one. And
you keep running that one for a while, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. It's just laughable to me. I'm sorry, it was. All right, somebody that I think needs more attention, especially because he has the everyday job, and people are just like, not paying attention to this guy. They're just like, oh, guess what? This guy's got every job. Oh, whatever. Oh, this guy can basically hit 10 home runs, steal you 15 to 20 bases, hit about 60 runs, about 60 RBIs, and a decent average from the shortstop position. I apparently don't need that at my fantasy team. Here's my question, as it's been for most of this week, Scott. How come nobody cares about Kettle Marte?
Because the counting numbers are hollow. There's really not any much of the speed that we expected early in the year. He'll get you a good batting average and maybe some runs scored, but you know that's it. You know he's a dollar at the end of your draft.
But if I'm going to give you 10 and 15 and 60 and 60 with a good average from your middle infield spot, that's valuable.
15 stolen bases? I don't know if you can do it.
I think
he
can.
I mean, it's all about playing time. Is he going to get the playing time? Because we haven't seen him get.
But that's what he has now. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, 15 and 15, I think he can get to double-digit stolen bases. I don't know if he can get to 15 home runs.
No, I was saying 10 and 15.
Yeah, 10 and 15. I think that's fine. He walks. You know, the on-base percentage is okay.
I don't think he's ever stolen a dozen bases in his career.
Yeah, he has in the minors.
Not apart from the minors.
No, like major. You know, we're here talking about the major leagues.
Oh, well, he's
never stolen a dozen bases.
Yeah, but if you include 2016 with the minors, he had the two extra from two games down there. I mean, that's 11. And it's
437 at bats, 11 home.
Right.
11,
but that's the
one
thing.
Home run?
437 at bats and 11 steals. You give him full season.
Like I said, he's never.
I know, but that's a truncated season. That's not 150 games.
Well, if you double what he did last year, you still only get six steals.
I'm not doubling what he did last year. I'm saying you're jumping around picking and choosing. He has the speed.
He does have the speed.
He doesn't have outstanding speed, it looks like.
He has some skills.
When was the last time he played in the minors? 2014?
15. But anyway, there's...
So I think he played some minors last year, too. Because he has the skills to break out. It's just he's disappointed. I think that's the answer to your question, Jake, is... People who have taken flyers on him and taken chances, they've waited. It's like waiting to see it from Kettle Marte. That's it. But hey, I think he does have
last year.
All right. We're going to hit the end of the week here. We'll be back on Monday. Hopefully, you have as much as you need for your draft. If not, you can hit us up on Twitter. You can check out the Roto Experts exclusive Edge packet. It's Jake, Scott, and Chris. Good luck this weekend, everybody.